Welcome to Ask Midwife 707. There's an old saying, a midwife's job is from womb to tomb. From my bubble of the Redwood Coast up in Northern California, we have a unique culture, a 707 culture, rich from years of alternative lifestyles, outlaw living, and people close with nature, ways that are now fusing into the mainstream. This podcast is full of stories answering your questions and exploring the depths of this life in hopes to heal the world. One baby at a time, one soul at a time. I'm your host, LD. Thanks for listening. Happy spring equinox. I hope you are all doing amazing. I wanted to jump on before we start this episode to share a couple things with you about it and also about a couple things that I have brewing that you might be interested in knowing about. So in this episode today, we are talking with board-certified holistic nutritionist and Ayurvedic practitioner, Mary Sheila Ganella. So Mary Sheila and I met in the dorms, yes, in college, and have been really best of friends through all the years. And I just love this woman so much. And we have always continued on the same paths of our loves from then. We love plants, we love herbs, we love farming, we love nutrition. We both got into Ayurveda. So, and most commonly what we do when we're together is we're either wildcrafting food or making amazing food in the kitchen. She's an incredible cook and has always turned me on to the next coolest thing. And I just appreciate her so much in my life. And she's an incredible teacher. In this episode today, we're going to be talking about blood sugar and the simple things that we could do to help us with how blood sugar works and how we can regulate that in our bodies. And if you are really enjoy the episode today, I wanted you to know that she is teaching a free webinar this Tuesday, March 23rd. So if you are interested, please, please go to her website, Occidental Nutrition, or go to askmidwife707.com and get on my email list if you're not already, and you will receive the links and the information from this podcast, but also links to her so that you could do that course with her next week. So that's what I want you to know. So also coming out this next week, I have created a midwife's top 10 focus tips when preparing for birth. So I did an audio recording talking about these top 10 focuses, and it also comes with a PDF. So if you have any friends that are pregnant or you are looking towards your upcoming labor and birth, this is the perfect thing to give someone or for you to listen to. So again, you could find out this information through my email list and just go to askmidwife707.com and get on it. I'm also at the end of April offering a free live class that I will be teaching live called Midwife Sessions, Birth in Uncertain Times, Your Mindset Roadmap. So this is a course where I walk through the three essential steps to feeling relaxed, ready, and inspired about your birth and your postpartum. We are in wild times, people, and there's a lot of stresses. You know, we're all dealing with so many things. So I'm trying to really help people through this time, and working with so many women with this time of pregnancy and birth, I'm really hearing intimately the struggles that you're having. And so I'm trying to just do a couple extra things so that people all over could possibly get a little bit of help. So if you have a friend or family member, again, that is pregnant, this might be for them. So I hope you are doing amazing, and I hope you enjoy this podcast, and take care. Mary Sheila Ganella from Occidental Nutrition. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So as some of you know, and maybe have listened to an episode of Mary Sheila and I before, she's one of my old sisters from our college days and our farm days and our roots of our maidenhood life together. And we both have continued to dive into food through our lives and nutrition. And as we get older, we are really seeing the benefits and the needs in a deeper way. So thanks for talking with me again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So today I wanted to just pick your brain a little bit about blood sugar. It's such the epidemic of our time. This is like what we're dealing with. And And I wanted to, I know that that's one of your big topics that you've really dove into and have a lot to say about blood sugar regulation. So tell me about how that started for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Blood sugar has become a passion for me. And, you know, as a nutrition consultant and Ayurvedic practitioner, it felt like everybody that I was working with, whatever their issues were, there was always an undercurrent of blood sugar. And let me just like back it up a little and explain, like, what do I mean by blood sugar? Because sometimes we don't realize even that blood sugar, what that even means. Right. You know, I think we might not know what it means unless we're diagnosed with something like pre-diabetes or diabetes, mm-hmm. right? But even Alzheimer's is now considered diabetes type 3. Mm. So it is an epidemic, right? Yes. It is. And it's my passion to like help people understand so that we can reverse that, what's happening, mm-hmm. and really nourish ourselves. So so if we're talking about blood sugar, so blood sugar is a constant in the body. So our blood sugar is part of our homeostasis. In the body, we have something that we are always trying to create balance in the body, which is called homeostasis. So for example, if I was going to take your temperature and take my temperature, we'd be pretty much the same, right? If we were going to do a blood draw, our pH would be pretty much the same. So no matter where we are on the planet and who we are, our human form is trying to create this balance, right? And it is creating it from everything on the inside. So like if I have any, you know, a virus or a bacteria or a pathogen, my body's trying to fight it. If I'm cold, my body's trying to keep me warm. If the sun's going down, my body's going to tell me like, it's time to go to sleep. So I have all these hormones or all these glands in the body, right? These fatty glands, part of my endocrine system that are trying to regulate and keep me balanced in homeostasis, right? So they all have a role to play. And every single cell in my body has a receptor for these hormones. So if let's say I walk outside and it's cold, I'm going to have a chain reaction of hormones that are going to be released through the body that are going to plug into my cells. And they're actually going to plug in that'll be my thyroid actually. And it'll plug into my cells and it'll tell my little mitochondria, like the powerhouse of my cells, to rev up, turn up their engines. So I feel warmer outside. Until I'm warm enough, then that whole little feedback loop is going to get turned off, mm-hmm. right? At night, when I go to sleep, mm-hmm. I'm going to have that same, I'm going to have a whole cascade of hormones that are going to kind of make me sleepy, tired, go to bed. And in the morning, I'm going to have energy. My hormones are going to give me more energy to get up and go. So blood sugar is the same, right? When I eat something, my blood sugar starts to rise, right? Because of what I've eaten, and my sugar starts to get into my blood, and insulin is saying, oh, blood sugar's rising. I'm going to come out so I can bring that blood sugar down and get it back to, you know, whatever is our normal to keep us homeostatic. If I get really hungry and become hypoglycemic, my hormones are going to activate to bring it back to balance. So it's this constant that we want to have. And what happens is, you know, with stress, with eating too many carbs, right? Simple sugars, chips, crackers, cakes, sodas, all those kind of things, our blood sugars can start to dysregulate. And what happens is that the energy from our food that's normally supposed to go into our cells to give the cells, you know, the nourishment and food can't get in there anymore. All of a sudden, the insulin, who's like the escort with the key, cannot let the sugar into the cell. So sugar stays in the blood. And that means over time, if the sugar starts to stay in the blood for too long, first of all, that extra sugar the body's going to say, okay, just send it to the liver. Let's turn it into fat mm-hmm. and save it for later. So then we start to gain weight. And we really start to gain weight if there's a blood sugar issue around the belly, right? Because that's just the easiest place for the body to put it. The liver also becomes fatty as a result. And then the other thing that happens is if that sugar stays in the blood for a long period of time, it starts to attach to our red blood cells. And that actually starts to thicken our blood. So then our blood becomes more like honey and less like water. And then if our heart is working all the time, boom, boom, all of a sudden our heart, rather than pumping blood, pumping water, it's pumping honey. You got to believe that's going to be a lot harder for it to pump. Mm. And then, like, that thick blood is going to have a much harder time getting into the little capillaries, like the pinkies of the toes and the fingers and the little capillaries behind the eyes. So those tissues don't get the same nourishment and they become more susceptible to damage. So that's where there's neuropathy that can happen. That's where, you know, that people lose vision. That's where the heart works harder and the cardiovascular gets affected and blood pressure gets increased and cholesterol gets increased. And that's where blood sugar starts to, in Ayurveda, we call that flooding. It starts to flood into other systems of the body. So all of a sudden, other systems are affected. So, you know, what we eat, how we eat, when we eat, which is all the things that I teach people, makes, you know, can help to bring blood sugar back in balance, but it becomes a whole thing. And then the other thing I alluded to with the Alzheimer's is if our brain is getting this kind of inflamed, thick, sticky blood, it's not going to be able to survive and function optimally over time. So then that's where it becomes a whole, you know, that's where it floods into the brain. And that's definitely what we don't want to happen.
Yeah. What are some basics that you share with people that could help our listeners today for habits for blood sugar regulation? Just like your main advice that you give to people that are like the heavy hitters of like, just think of the basics. Here's some foundational things to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it can feel overwhelming when I kind of describe all the things that can happen in the body.
Right? I just loved your description. So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, totally. So probably the one thing is, you know, I'll just preface it with this is in our modern day food system, we are up against a lot, okay? We have our comfort foods. We have our convenient foods. We might not have had parents and people that taught us how to cook the way that, you know, might not have our grandmother's sauerkraut or stew recipes, right? We've lost some of the traditions. Not all of us, but a lot of us have. So I want to just acknowledge that we are up against a lot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, learning about this and learning new ways, it's not impossible, but it's hard. And I want to just acknowledge that. But the main thing I would say is being up against a lot, we are marketed to be consumers of snacking. You know, the perfect snack, the perfect bar. I can't tell you how many times I've had people say, wait, what do you think about this bar? And honestly, I'm kind of like, you know, most bars, in my opinion, are glorified candy bars. And I think if you're doing some strenuous exercise and you're working out, great, take a bar with you. That's a perfect time for a bar. But like substituting it for your lunch, you know, once a week and then it becomes twice a week. And all of a sudden it's like, I'm eating almonds in a bar for lunch. It's like, that's not a lunch. So that being said, eat meals rather than snacks. That is like the premier way, right? So have a meal. And I'll just show you my little formula, or I'll explain my little formula for a meal. Okay. So your hands become a perfect guide. So if you take your hands and you cup them together as if you were going to, someone was going to pour water into your hands and you were going to place it down and let your dog lap water out of your hands. Okay. The size of your hands is similar to the size of your stomach. In Ayurveda, we call that an anjali. So you would have two anjalis, right? So you want to say, okay, when I have a meal, right? And some, you know, we're all different. Mm-hmm. Some people do great with three meals a day and they even need some snacks. Some people only need two meals. Some people maybe even just one. Like we're all different and that's where our constitutions and how fast is our metabolism, right? So you have a meal. One palm is your protein. What is your protein? Protein takes longer to digest. And protein helps really stabilize our blood sugar. So whether it's an animal protein or a plant protein, you know, think about the size of your palm or a quarter of your plate, okay? Your other palm is your starchy carbohydrate. That's your grain, your bean, your root vegetable, your winter squash. That's the part of the plant that contains sugar. That's the part of the plant that, you know, we break it down. We have all this digestive teamwork. We chew, we swallow our stomach acid, our digestive enzymes, and we eventually start releasing the sugar molecules from the digestive tract and it makes its way into the bloodstream. And that's when our blood sugar starts to rise. So a quarter of our plate, right? Not the whole plate, Like, I'm married to an Italian. He likes his pasta, right? He's not, you know, he doesn't just give me this little tiny quarter of a plate if he makes his pasta. It's like, whoa. It's a lot of sugar to process. And especially the difference between pasta and maybe even like a wheat berry, right? Where pasta comes from. The wheat berry is all, you know, the sugar is all mixed up with the fiber, and it takes a lot of digestive teamwork for me to assimilate. So that sugar is just going to drip into my bloodstream. I have the pasta. Guess what? When I had, when those wheat berries were milled, the pasta was, the fiber was separated from the sugar, and I'm going to absorb that real quick. And that's a very high glycemic, high sugar food. So quarter of our plate is the starch, right? In general, that's just a simplified version. Then if you wiggle your fingers, those half of your plate, those are your greens, right? Greens do not have a lot of sugar. It's not where the plant stores sugar. Greens have a lot of fiber. Greens have a lot of minerals and antioxidants. And you think about it, I just love to geek out on, like, you know, think about a kale leaf, right? If you've seen a kale leaf in the garden.
Are you kidding me?
Well, I know you have. I was talking to your listeners.
The kale farmer over here?
Yeah, that's
good,
right.
Example. You go. I know.
Okay,
what you
so think about that kale leaf. Think about when it's like 100 and, you know, over 100 degrees, and there's that kale leaf just like looking at the sun all day long. It's got some serious protection. Then it gets freezing and cold and frosty, and actually kale gets better when it gets cold like that. And there it is, still surviving. It's rainy, it's wet, there's pests, there's, you know, funguses and whatever and molds in the soil, and it's protected. So there is so much protection. That protection becomes protection for us. And one kind of cool thing to know is if we've had blood sugar issues and we've got damaged blood vessels because we have this high blood sugar, it's often the very lining, like the, you know, think of the vessel and right where the blood touches, that gets kind of damaged. That's called the endothelial layer. And all those, like, antioxidants and all those phytonutrients that are protecting the plant live on that, like, similar membrane of the plant, and they protect that part of our blood vessel. So it's like a really good, you know, it's good for that part of the body that gets damaged if we have high blood pressure and blood sugar. So we've got the, and lots of minerals in those greens. And lots of fiber, not a lot of sugar, so really nourishing. And lots of other things that are really good for the liver and for detoxification and removing, you know, just all the toxins in our environment this day and age. If you feel really deficient, cook your greens. Greens, you know, cooked greens are more nourishing. Mm-hmm. If you need more cleansing, have more raw greens. And, you know, a lot of times I feel like I need a little bit of both, you know, so I might have a little raw, a little cooked. So there's no set rule. Go with how you feel, you know, and then if you wiggle your thumbs, that represents your fats. So you have some fats with each meal. Fats, we don't need as many. I mean, you can do keto, you can get more fats, you could do, but the only reason we don't need as much is because it is denser. It's higher in calories, gram for gram, than proteins and carbs. But, you know, I'm not a raw food kind of a person, but I do like my fats raw as much as I can. And it doesn't happen all the time. But if you think about our cell, we have a cell membrane. On the cell membrane, every single cell on the cell membrane is receptors. That is how things get into the cell. And it's also how things are able to leave the cell, right? So nourishment comes in, wastes, or things the cells make come out to do their job. So the cell membrane is made of fat. So the quality of the fat that we eat determines the quality of the cell membrane. Mm. If I'm eating a lot of fried foods and, you know, a lot of, you know, refined vegetable oils that are hidden
don't do it.
Yeah. That are hidden in, like, baked goods and just all the processed chips and crackers and blah, blah, blah. Mm. Then I'm going to have more rigid, inflamed cell membranes. Can be hard for things to come in and hard for things to come out. So we want to have good quality raw fat. So raw nuts and seeds, you know, olives, olive oil, you know, good pasteurized butter and, you know, meats and good eggs, you know, coconut oil, flax seeds, avocados, right? Mm-hmm. So just the good stuff rather than the fried processed, right? Like making your own salad dressing rather than buying one that's like made with canola or soy or corn.
Yeah.
You know, like, or buying, making sure you're looking at the label of your olive oil, making sure it is made or of dressings and making sure
it's made with olive oil. And know that there are very few dressings out there that are okay, people.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, Bragg's dressing is about the only one.
There's barely any that are made with olive oil anymore. And they used to all be made with olive oil. And then the cheaper oils came in and all the companies switched to save their dime. But that's not helping us in any way. And it's not that hard to make a salad dressing. And, you know, even if you don't know how to do it and you've never done it, you can certainly Google it and, you know, it.
Or maybe we'll add that to our kitchen aspect of this video.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, but anyway, so I know I kind of went on and on about the meal, but if you think about a meal and you say, okay, what is my protein? One palm on my plate. What is my starch? Another palm, right? And what are my greens? And that would be your wiggling your fingers. And then what are my fats? Wiggling your thumbs. And if you have, like, so that's probably my number one thing that I would say is have meals versus snacks. And then, of course, you know, watch those carbs, right? And then hydrate between meals, not with your meals, so you don't dilute all your digestive juices.
That's good.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is, one of the things that really helps with kind of resetting the metabolism when there's blood sugar issues would be something that's very popular right now, which is intermittent fasting.
I was just going to say.
Ha-ha.
Yeah. I mean, when I follow my own body of what my body wants to do, I naturally do intermittent fasting. Mm-hmm. So that was going to be my next thing for you is like, or question is like, how does that play into helping us regulate our blood sugar?
Yeah. So when I was talking about hormones earlier, so if you think about, so I call them your whole like personal team of first responders. And this is a lot, this is like my core curriculum when I work with clients so that they, not only am I helping them make the changes, but I'm teaching them about their systems and all their hormones because they're a team, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, if we eat way too late, like have some, you know, bunch of ice cream or chips or cookies before we go to bed and our insulin is high, you better believe that when you go to sleep, you're not, your human growth hormone is not coming out that night. And that's the hormone that helps us rebuild the body, build muscle, and burn fat. Mm-hmm. So we obviously all want that wonderful hormone to come out and play at night when we're sleeping.
Yeah.
Right? If we go to bed way too late, we're going to produce less of it. So we have they all have a rhythm, right? And I've written something, it's on my website. My website is Occidental Nutrition. It's called The Breakfast Report.
We'll put a link to that.
Perfect. And I really show you how each hormone has a rhythm and sort of, and I talk about eating breakfast and it could be breaking fast. So again, bringing the intermittent fasting. Ideal, you know, again, is eating three meals rather than like snacking all day and having at least a 12-hour fast. So that would be like being done eating at 7 o'clock and not eating again until 7 a.m. That's like the minimum that we should all be doing. So for some of you, you might be like, oh, I'm doing way more than that. And some people are like, oh, okay. So that is a great place to start. It's really safe to start. Because, you know, if you're like pregnant or breastfeeding, you might not want to go, you know, that might be just perfect place for you. And it's you know, relatively safe, right? But then if you're maybe having blood sugar issues and maybe you're not pregnant and nursing and you want to go further, then you would just, once you get to that 12 hours and you get kind of in a little bit of a zone with it, you can change that up. And intermittent, the word intermittent doesn't necessarily, it means change. It doesn't mean, okay, forever I have to do this 18-6 or 16-8 or 24-1 or whatever it is. You can change it to fit your lifestyle. But, and so sometimes you could play and you could say, oh, I'm going to do, you know, an 18-hour fast today, right? Every time you do that, you know, sometimes it's hard when you start doing more fast because then when you go to eat, you're just like,
right. Yeah.
But you know.
And don't make the best choices.
Maybe. You don't make, exactly. So kind of, it helps to have a plan. So that's why I think it helps to kind of ease into it a little bit. And like, you know, so sometimes I get clients doing 12 hours and that's a big deal because a lot of times when there's blood sugar issues, there's more cravings and they come up later at night. And so a lot of times I'm like, okay, how about stop eating at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock if you're like, because it's the late night eating that gets people, you know, they start eating at night.
You reminded me when I was studying Ayurveda more several years ago that one of the habits I got into that I haven't done for a long time, but you just made me realize that of once a week I would do just lighter eating in general.
Yeah.
I would have miso and I would have, you know, scrambled egg. Like I just, everything was just a little more on the light nourishment side of things just once a week. even. And I used to, I need to take that back. Yeah. Because I'm like, oh, I haven't done that in a long time, but that felt so right when I did it. So it's a fun one.
Yeah, exactly. And that a lot of people do even like a fast one day a week, you know, and sometimes they do it with just water. Sometimes they do it with water or, you know, broth and just, you know, having something. It just depends.
So probably not with coffee.
Well, some people do it with like coffee with the fat added to it, and then they'll do a broth, and and that sometimes just helps kind of hold the edge, because it is different when you don't eat, you know. But there is something that can feel kind of good. I mean, I've been, as a nutritionist, I've kind of been like the breakfast, lunch, and dinner girl, you know.
Right.
Like, eat your three meals and try not to snack. But I've noticed that that's really helped to hold blood sugar. And for a lot of people, that is a place to start. And then we say, okay, you know, then I say, okay, let's bump that, you know, breakfast up, and let's just turn your breakfast and lunch into brunch. And sometimes people are like, oh my gosh, you know, I never thought I could do that. And, you know, so intermittent fasting can be kind of, you know, it can go in a lot of different directions. And there's a lot of people talking about it right now. And it really, you know, and the other thing that happens when we intermittent fast, after a certain amount of time, after about maybe 16 hours, we do start to go naturally into ketosis, and maybe a light ketosis. But then, and this happens also sometimes when we exercise, but there's another thing that happens, which is called autophagy, which is when our cells start to really detox and clean up. It's like cellular cleanup, but it happens on the inside of the cell. So the cells, they're not getting, you know, the food that they need. So then they start going into detox mode and repair mode, and, you know, the eating up certain parts and cleaning up. And that's a good thing. You know, that's, that's a very help, you know, we want that to happen, right?
Yeah, you, I was just going to ask, what did you make me think of when you said that? Ketosis. Do you want to explain that to people, to listeners who aren't sure what that means, or if they've heard of that before? Ketones, ketosis, of course, that's a big thing right now, to be keto. But do you want to talk just briefly to educate us a little bit about ketosis?
Yeah, because it does go along pretty well with blood sugar, because a lot of people that do have blood sugar issues find that going into ketosis really helps. And it also helps because it helps with cravings, you know, and it helps to bring our blood sugar down, and it helps to bring insulin down. So normally glucose is the main fuel for our cells. So glucose being coming from those grains, beans, nuts, seeds, root vegetables, right? The sugar found in food. So that's the main source of fuel. So what happens if we don't give the body that fuel and we give it fat instead? The body's going to find a way to get what we need, right? So then what happens is we take that fat, the body's like, oh my gosh, where's the sugar? And it takes the fat to the liver, and the liver makes ketones. And then the cells sort of learn how to use those ketones for,
as an energy source.
Exactly, as an energy source. There you go. and so there is that. So then the body starts using the ketones. What happens at the beginning of ketosis is the brain kind of has to adjust as well. So sometimes when people first start ketosis, they don't feel so good. And that's called the keto flu. And when you starve yourself of glucose, you actually have stored glucose. It's called glycogen, and it's usually stored with water. So your body's going to use all that up first. And for some people, it uses it up real quick. Other people, it takes a little longer. So if people get into ketosis at different times, everybody's different. So it takes a little minute to get into ketosis, and your body uses, you know, dumps all that extra water that the glycogen was stored with. So people get dehydrated and people lose a lot of electrolytes. And that's why they sometimes don't feel good. So if you do ketosis, you really have to drink a lot of water. And you also have to make sure you're getting your electrolytes. So sometimes you have to add your, you know, a little salt back into your water, or you drink more broth to get the minerals. And then at first your kidneys are like dumping all the extra ketones, because they're like, what the heck are all these, you know, ketones happening? So they're dumping all these extra ketones. So at first you're dumping a lot of ketones into your urine to maybe testing for it to see if you're in ketosis. And then your kidneys get the clue, and they're like, oh, okay, we're using these ketones. I'm not going to dump them anymore. And then we start holding on to them and we start using them. And what happens is, you know, with blood sugar, it's all about insulin taking the glucose. It's like an escort. It grabs a glucose on each arm, it takes it to the cell, and it unlocks the door, and it lets the glucose in. But with ketones, they can actually have easier entry into the cells. So for somebody who's been struggling with real low energy because they can't get nourishment from the food that they're eating, and they're insulin resistant, and their insulin's really high because we just keep pumping out the insulin to try to deal with it, all of a sudden we have... you know, the body's able to use the ketones, insulin's able to drop. And then, you know, when you're eating the fat, you're using that fat. But when you do the intermittent fasting, your body is taking the fat that you already have stored and using that. And that's when people start to actually lose weight because their insulin is down, and then we have breaks. So intermittent fasting and ketosis go great together to help people that have been struggling with weight loss to actually then lose the weight.
I've been questioning a little bit of that in this recent months, wondering, it feels like, you know, to actually do a keto diet, it's a very specific thing that you're doing. You're not just like, all of a sudden I'm going to eat all this fat and no carbs kind of thing. So it's a very specific thing. Then there's all these drinks that people are doing to like throw themselves into ketosis.
Or add in exogenous ketones. Yeah.
And so I don't know enough, honestly, so I'm curious what you think about that, but I'm suspect because of a couple clients that I have that have done that and have done a lot of those kinds of diet things, and then, well, then in their third, fourth pregnancy, all of a sudden they're having gestational diabetes and just blood sugar dysregulation signs. And so I've been wondering, like, I think it's hard to do it, or is it hard to do that properly, to actually do a keto diet? And, you know, what do you think about those things that you add in, the ketones? And I don't know, I just had a couple experiences of that. And it makes me wonder if that is such a good choice for a lot of people. Like, or does doing those more extreme things going to just throw off the blood sugar dysregulation versus the simple, normal things of eat three meals and eat what you're supposed to? To me, I would go to those simple things first, you know, but for people who are trying those more serious diets, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody's different, and some people, you know, I mean, I will say, like, sometimes I think people need more support around it, you know, just because it can be seen as extreme. And then there's, you know, there's a lot of science that says, well, as humans, our bodies have a lot of experience with ketosis from, you know, especially our ancestors. And the whole modern day food of just everything being available 24/7 is a new thing for the human body, right? And for some people, you know, it depends. Maybe some people don't have a gallbladder and it's harder for them to absorb all those fats. And so the exogenous ketone drinks can be helpful for the body to kind of get the energy, right? So I have recommended those from time to time for people that I think might need it. I don't know that everybody needs it. And I mean, I guess my one issue with it is, like, why do they make those things so damn sweet? You know, I'm just like, oh, okay. So that's me. I mean, I'm a holistic nutritionist, right? So I want things to be pure. I want to know what it is. I want to, you know, I'm like, can I find it in my own cupboard, right? The other thing is, so, I mean, and it's true, like, doing a keto diet is not, like, when I explain the hands, protein with each meal, the palm of the hand, well, when you're in ketosis, it's like, you know, maybe just the ball of the hand, right? You don't need as much protein. And so you do, and then some people don't do enough greens, so that it becomes more acidic, right?
And it's tricky.
And then sometimes with ketosis, like, if you've been doing it for a while, are you missing out on some of the ingredients or the nutrients that you're used to be getting before? So can you maybe do it and ebb and flow? And then as women, you know, thinking about nourishing and feeding our glands and our thyroid and our adrenals. And like, so for some women, you know, adding more carbs, especially at night, you know, because again, about the rhythm of our hormones, which is again, something I explain a lot in my breakfast report, like, can you actually maybe having, you know, carb loading or eating more carbs at night, and that even helps with sleep, you know, but then go into, you know, so I would just say, I think it can be safe for most people, but again, some people might not need it. Or they might want to ebb and flow a bit. The cool thing about ketosis is once your cells have become keto adapted, if you go out of ketosis and then come back in, it's going to be much easier the next time because your cells know it. They understand it. Right. And so it just depends. I mean, some people might not need it. Like their metabolism is pretty good. They're good. They're eating good foods. You know, sometimes ketosis really helps with cravings. When people have a lot of cravings for carbs and sugar, it's like, what if you just cut all the sugar out completely and you were just eating the satiating fat? Because fat is so satiating. Yeah. And some people have cut out fat for a long time and they're still very afraid of fat, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
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 So, going back to your recommendations for regulating blood sugar, you talked about the three meals and not snacking, which I love that concept. What else? Any other things?
Just the, like, stopping eating at a certain point, you know?
I love to think about that. That helps me when you talk about what our body is doing at night.
Yeah.
You know, the work of our organs and the work of the resetting that's happening while we sleep is so profound for our bodies.
Yeah.
That is always that has helped me a lot when I'm in that place of like, no, I want to go to bed hungry.
Yeah.
Like I would rather go to bed hungry. Like I get more stoked that I'm hungry going to bed and just drink a bunch of water. That helps me to feel like, oh yay, my body's going to do what it's supposed to do tonight. You know, I love feeling like that.
Yeah. It's so true. And you know, it's the difference too. Like when we go to bed really full, you know, what happens? We usually don't sleep as well. Or at least I'm speaking for myself.
Yeah.
I don't sleep as well. And so it's about, and then maybe it's not going to bed hungry, but it's just going to bed not stuffed and not super full.
Yeah.
And knowing that you'll be okay, right?
Yeah,
exactly. You'll get through the night because our body's going to self-regulate again during the night with blood sugar because it's always trying to keep that balance.
And then for my own selfish information that I want from you is, what about a common thing for women and for myself is that morning fasting number? Like some people that are actually looking at their numbers. Mm-hmm. And I see that a lot in my clinic with pregnancy is, you know, that morning fasting can be off for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so can you talk a little bit about what that's about?
Yeah. I mean, that could be a cue of blood sugar dysregulation, right? Mm-hmm. And then that also, you know, when we wake up in the morning, our cortisol starts to rise and cortisol calls upon glucose. So it's kind of part of, you know, anytime we have like other times cortisol rises, is if we have any kind of stress and that calls on glucose to get released so that we can, you know, have the fuel to fight or flight. Right. But even just in the morning, we have higher, it's like our body's giving us some energy currency. Like, oh, here's a certain amount of cortisol to help you with the stress of your day. And glucose rises with that. So another time to test glucose, just to see and kind of almost compare the two, would be like before your evening meal, especially if you haven't eaten for quite a few hours, just to see, is that one a little bit lower? But, you know, if it's a little high, that's definitely kind of a little bit of a sign. Mm-hmm. And just to kind of come back to what you said before about like what else, you know, when you think about blood sugar, it is about all the pieces. Like, sleep can make us insulin resistant and make our, you know, blood sugar high, or lack of sleep, I should say, you know, stress, too much sugar, not enough exercise, you know, the nutrients, like, do we have, like, what is insulin even made of? Do we have those building blocks? What's our cell receptor made of? Do we have those building blocks, right? Mm-hmm. So there's so many pieces of the puzzle. And that's what I teach when I teach my blood sugar reset class, is like, what are all the pieces that you need to have in place and to actually make sure that the system functions properly.
Nice. When's your next blood sugar class?
It is February.
Woo!
I know.
I'm going to be there.
Yeah, it's in Northern California.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to be there.
It's in Sonoma County. It's like, and Sonoma County's super beautiful, especially in February. It's really green. But it is. It's a transformational class. It's like, if you're ready to get your blood sugar right, if I don't say so myself, it is a really good class. It's like it's putting all the puzzle pieces together so that you can actually like move forward and take action and not be kind of stuck in like, oh my gosh, you know, my parents have Alzheimer's or diabetes runs in my family, or my doctor told me I'm pre-diabetic, or they want to put me on cholesterol and, you know, all these things, you know, or, you know, it affects your mood, you know, depression, everything kind of boils down to that.
And it's all body types. It's all life's walks of life.
Yeah.
It's not anything you could think of that I eat supreme and that's not me, or I am a thin person and I eat great. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, you really do need to tune into those things and not be fooled by things that we think of as stereotypical for blood sugar dysregulation.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. We all really are, you know, we all want to, you know, like, exit with our cognition, right?
Yes.
With this life. And yes, we all want to...
Strong brains.
Yeah, have the energy. And that's what I really... I'll just kind of end it on one note. I'll share a story, if that's okay. It's great story.
Yeah.
So I teach a mindful eating class. And I had a couple come into the class. And Mark and Nancy. And Mark was diabetic. And he had just retired. And he was pretty overweight, diabetic. He was on a lot of medications. And he came in and he wanted to, he said he had just started losing weight. So he retired and he was sitting on his couch and he just felt depressed. Mm-hmm. And he didn't eat for a few days because he felt depressed. And by not eating for a few days, the fog lifted. Mm-hmm. And he felt a little more clarity. And he realized, and he was starting to have a lot of seizures and a lot more health problems. And he realized he had a choice to make. He could keep doing what he was doing and he would probably, you know, not make it, or he could make some changes. So he started just restricting his calories. He started losing some weight. Then he heard about my class and he came to my class. And so again, like in my blood sugar class, I just started teaching, you know, week by week things he could do. And both of them just made tons of changes. Like, she was eating McDonald's. She's, you know, they were just whatever. They didn't even have a dining room table. You know, they sat and ate their dinner in front of the TV with their cats. They had all these cats. And anyways, so
too far. I
know. Awesome people. Okay. So in the beginning of the class, one of the things I always say is, like, what is your big why? Like, why do you want to make these changes? How do you want to feel? What do you want your life to be like? What do you want to do? And all of a sudden one day, so meanwhile, they're losing weight. He's got rid of his CPAP machine. He's off of a few medications.
Wow.
Between the two of them, they lost 250 pounds.
Oh my God.
And they were like new people,
amazing.
Different people.
Amazing.
Oh, I know. That's and amazing. All of a sudden one day, she comes to class and I was like, where's Mark? And she says, he's backpacking. And I was like, he's backpacking? She's like, yeah, he's backpacking. I was like, oh my God. And he comes in the next time, is like, tells us all about his backpacking trip. And he said, look, I would have never been able to do that before because, you know what? I was such a big guy. There's no chairs out in the wilderness. How was I going to sit down on the ground and then get back up?
Wow.
Like, how was I going to do that? And I was just like,
wow.
And then here's the best part. And then, like, a couple weeks later, she comes into class and she's got Band-Aids on her knees. And I was like, oh, what happened? She's all, well, I joined soccer league.
Stop.
She had been a soccer player in her youth, like a really good one, but she never, ever imagined that she would play soccer again because she was, you know, in pain and bigger and just, you know, that was not her life anymore. She was moving slowly. She joined a soccer league and she's like having a blast.
Oh, I love
And she had
that.
Her little Band-Aids. I felt like I was talking to a little girl, you know, like, oh, I have my little Band-Aids. Can you see them? I got an owie.
Oh,
anyway.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah. So like anything is really possible to be able to just transform your life. And it is about making it. And that's the other thing, I guess you said, like, what else would you say? I would say, like, do one thing and do it well until you can then do another thing. Like, make one change at a time. It doesn't have to be, you know, that's what happens.
It gets too overwhelming.
We go from like whatever our life is now, and then we jump all the way back and we start going a different way. And then 3 weeks later, we're like, F it. And we turn around and we go right back to what we're doing. Instead of saying like, oh, I'm just going to do this. And then I'm going to do this. And then all of a sudden we might get to that place behind us, but we took many steps. It took time. And it's now just like who we are.
Yeah. So. Lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It does take time. Well, I love nerding out with you so much with this stuff.
Anytime.
We'll have to have you on this show many a times. So thanks for being with us. And if anyone is interested, you will see the link in the email with this podcast and in the show notes that links to Mary Sheila's upcoming courses. And I will say that we are doing it in Humboldt County in the spring. So we will keep you posted, but come join
the Blood Sugar Reset Retreat. So it's fun, it's nourishing, and yeah, we'll do it. Let's do it.
Okay. Woo. That's good.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I'm your host, Laura Doyle. Thanks for listening. If you are loving this podcast, then please subscribe and write a review. That helps me get this podcast out to more people all over the world. And of course, share it with your friends. Head over to askmidwife707.com for more information. Sign up to the email list and receive information on upcoming classes for doulas and beginning midwifery, as well as products that I have created to support vibrant health, reminding you of the simple rituals of sip, soak, and nourish.